Fred Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2019 Cairo International Film Festival, right beside the Nile, as we're recording this interview, and my guest at this time is Clifford Despenser. First of all, thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
And let me see if I can do a proper introduction of the things that you do. I'm going to use a visual reference for this. You are the head, and I suppose the founder, of Clemency Films. And you're a voice, language, and dialect coaching expert, specialist. Is that correct?
Yes. The Clemency Films aspect is in its infancy. I produced a couple of things, and I've associate produced a couple of projects helping. When you've been in the business a number of years, you build up a network of friends and enemies,
yes.
Mostly friends. And it's nice when you've reached a certain age and time in your career that younger, upcoming filmmakers, writers are trying to put something together. And if I can introduce a really good script by a newcomer to an established actor or director, that's kind of what Clemency Films is about. I'm not a producer per se,
right?
Not at the moment, and I don't think I'll live long enough to reach that.
Well, but you know, everyone needs to have some sort of a goal or ambition, right?
So but it's something I can do when I'm not on set in full dialogue coaching mode. It's something I can do because I know some people and I can talk to people and introduce people, and that's why I'm very happy to come to somewhere like Cairo International Film Festival, because it's an opportunity to see old friends, make new friends, make links and connections, and it happens every day. You meet someone who, you know, has worked with someone you've worked with, you know, so you're building up the gossip, but it's also very useful collecting cards, giving out cards. So as a networking opportunity, if you're not on a film set working with people, it's very hard to meet the right people. I guess Clemency Films' ethos is to try to make things happen and bring people together. But that's based on 30 more years of being a dialect coach on film sets, mostly film and TV sets, and just establishing through the work and sitting through endless hours when sometimes nothing much happens, and just chatting to people and getting to know people and finding your feet. Every film set is like starting school again. You have to make new friends. There might be one person you know. So it's as a lifestyle, you have to be quite tough and thick-skinned, but at the same time sensitive and giving. You know, it's quite a tricky.
Yeah.
It's like being a good parent, I suppose.
Right.
You have to, you know, sometimes you have to be authoritative and say no, that's wrong.
Yeah, you can't
do that. So to do that with an actor, especially an established actor, you have to get to know them and they have to trust you. And the aspect of trust, once gained, can last a lifetime, and it's worth its weight in gold, because it's a shorthand. Trust is a shorthand, I think. If you lose the trust, or I lose the trust I had in someone, it's very hard to make it up.
Now, pardon this question might seem a little strange, but just because, as I mentioned before we started recording this interview, I've never actually interviewed anyone who is in your line of work or expertise. When did you discover that you had a talent for it?
Yes, it's a common question. It's very tricky. I guess all of life is about, I guess to a certain extent, talents or discovering talents. It's also about the accidents that lead you in directions that bring you to a certain place at a certain time. And my life is no different. But in terms of interests, I've always been interested from childhood in, it's not just the thing itself, but the process. And I think that's what the analytical process. So when I was learning to read, I was very, very conscious of the fact that I was learning to read. And I've spoken to people about this, and they say, really? We just did it. you know, or when I was learning to play the piano, I was very, very conscious of what was going on, that there was something happening under my fingers, and that I was trying to learn how to interpret squiggles on a page that are vertical, and yet the piano keyboard is horizontal.
Right.
And so that transposition of a treble and a bass into two hands, sometimes crossing the hands. So I think from the beginning, and then starting to learn foreign languages, singing in the choir, all of these processes, how you either blend in with a choir or if you're a soloist. And I think somebody once said, you're either an orchestra member or you're a soloist. But sometimes you do both. Mm. And I think it's very important to be part of something. It makes us all feel good. But you need to be part of a healthy something,
right,
something that functions. And if you can contribute back and make it function. So I think if you've got that rather critical, skeptical point of view, like, what's going on here? It's not working. Let's try again. So becoming an English teacher with foreigners was very interesting. Teaching people my own language gives you a completely different perspective. And not every coach has done that. And I guess the accent thing really came about. I worked very hard on French, German, and other languages to get the pronunciation, as well as the grammar and vocabulary. And I was, again, fascinated by what I had to do with my mouth differently. Mm. And I think at a certain point, I was about 28, 29, I woke up literally and thought I need to somehow evolve from teaching English. I couldn't do it for my life, for the rest of my life. And by calling friends and recommendations and being given phone numbers, I found my way to a wonderful woman many people might remember, Cicely Berry, who was the principal voice coach at the Royal Shakespeare Company at the time. She's since left us. And I met her through friends, and she said, well, you have to go to this drama school and do this course, and that will set you up.
Mm.
So I did.
Right. Well, it's interesting what you were saying, what you were explaining, that you were making comparisons with music, and you were bringing up the music thing a lot. Music and language are obviously... Music is a language, too.
Well, I think any skill... I'm not an athlete, but I think sporting, athletic skills, dance, anything that requires... Somebody referred to 10,000 hours are necessary to learn to do anything well. And
famous 10,000 hours.
Famous 10,000 hours. I don't know who counted them.
How many languages do you speak, though?
Well, a few. but I have coached languages I don't speak.
Oh.
That's the benefit of phonetics.
Yes.
Once you can break down sounds, it's a bit like Messiaen going into the fields and writing down birdsong.
Yeah, all right.
I don't have perfect pitch, but I think learning why foreigners, for example, sound the way they do in English. And we can talk about regional accents, as we do in England, or Britain, or Great Britain.
Or Ireland.
or Ireland. and there are all sorts of reasons why people from different dialect or language backgrounds sound the way they do, and have, in many cases, extreme difficulty making a more English sound, for example. Mm. Just as when I speak French, I have to work very hard on certain sounds, and they are the ones that we don't have.
Yes.
So you're learning completely new sounds or new ways of producing an old sound.
Mm.
It's a bit... Well, I can think of many, many analogies of driving with a gear, a stick shift, or driving... You know, automatic. It's the same vehicle, but it's a very different way of doing it. And sometimes you can adapt, and sometimes mm-hmm. you can't. So I think I tend to see parallels everywhere, analogies, metaphors that help me work with actors. And if they don't get it, whether it's they don't get how to say something, or they actually don't understand what they're saying, which happens, sometimes you have to take them out of the context and bring them back, or ask them questions, or just turn the dialogue back to front and get them to say the other character's dialogue.
Yeah.
It's pretty obvious, but I don't know that it ever occurs to them to to be the other person in the scene.
Yes.
For 5 minutes and see how that feels.
I would love to. I'd love to see that process in action in a way, because. But it does sound at the same time very difficult and tedious, even just to get the right.
We're in an environment surrounded by actors.
Oh yeah. Well, we're acting right now.
Find an Egyptian actor and bring him here, and we'll get him to say "How now, brown cow?" and see what goes wrong.
Is that somehow connected to the masterclass that you'll be doing tomorrow?
Well, I won't be doing a workshop, not here. I might be doing it elsewhere in Cairo later this week, just waiting for people to come through the door. But that's being set up by somebody I met through the festival, but it's not part of the festival. So I'm staying an extra few days hoping, you know, some punters might come in to learn a couple of things they thought they knew but really don't. And that's my favorite.
That's very good. You've learned. I feel like just from talking to you, you've actually learned how to. You have a talent as well as everything else for networking. It seems like.
I don't know that I do. I think there are two kinds of networking. There's the networking that happens because you are interested in what you're doing. Therefore, you communicate. Mm. Eventually, you communicate competence and skill and so forth. And you relax a bit. But I think if you have any kind of expertise or authority or competence, that's communicated. And that's why people, they might like you as a person, but think you're a terrible whatever it is.
Yeah.
we all know people who are really nice, but they're not very good at what they do. And vice versa, some people are incredibly, I can talk about actors and directors, they're fantastic. Do you want to have a meal with them? You don't. Or sit in the car for 2 hours? No, you don't.
Well, there's the whole thing that people say, that most of the time the best artists are the ones that are the hardest to get along with. I don't know if that's true.
Well, I can come up with all sorts of platitudes, but in my experience, the actors who are difficult are usually not the best actors.
Right.
If you compare. Mm. The really good actors are usually, not always, they're usually not humble, but they're usually calm, and they know what they're doing. They have skill, they have competence. You know, they accept that what I do is part of their job.
Yeah.
And what the hair and makeup people are doing is also part of their job. So it's not, you mustn't see everybody as outside you. If you're an actor, you really have to see it as a symbiosis, that the director, the lighting guy, need you to move half a centimeter, the sound guy needs to adjust your microphone. All of that is part of your job as an actor.
Mm.
And if you become difficult with people and brush them away, they can't do their job, which eventually means the actor can't be heard or seen, or, you know, there's something wrong with the costume. You know, so you have to work in very close quarters. It's like a beehive. You know, everybody's there, and you wait for your second to jump in and say, no, it's not movement, it's movement, or whatever it is, something silly.
Sure.
And you have to pick your moment, and you can't correct everything.
Yes.
So every take, unfortunately, life isn't made up of takes.
Right.
Where you can think, oh, that wasn't good, let's do it again. You can, but it's tricky, because we always carry the past into the present, and it's very difficult to backspace erase in real life. In film, you get it wrong, you can get it right later.
Mm.
Or you can cut it together so that you get all the best bits. Unfortunately, life's not like that. But the networking thing, I think some people I've experienced arrive at a party or a dinner or a function or an event such as a festival with the sole purpose of meeting people. And I don't know that that works for them or for anyone, because it's a little bit obvious. And I think it's easier if people come to you or ask you, and then, you know, it makes people more comfortable. You don't want to be mobbed.
Yeah.
So if the most important director or producer or influential person is there, this moth to a flame thing, I don't think that works. But if you happen to be in transport to set one morning with that person, you're going to talk about the hotel, you're going to talk about, you might start gossiping, and then you build the relationship. But you could, you know, mob them at a red carpet thing, and they would ignore you completely.
Yeah.
So it's
it depends on a lot of different things.
Working with people or living next door to people, that's what slowly evolves into a relationship. A lot of famous people, you know, their best mate is the person who used to clean their house,
right,
or who lived next door when they were students.
And they
keep that connection. So, yeah, networking is a very, very strange thing. I think people have written many books about how to do it, but I think the first rule is be sincere and good at what you do.
Yeah.
And that's what actors, if actors are not sincere, at least in the role, you know, they're not believable. And I try to help them and, you know, question them and just give them a little bit of, you know, you kind of... As a coach, you want to destabilize somebody just enough to get them to come back with the right response, the right feeling, the right pronunciation. And if you push someone, once they act, once they're really in what they're doing, usually there's no problem with the accent.
It
just happens. It's like those magic movie moments where the dance comes together, or the hitting the golf ball just happens perfectly because you're in it and you're not thinking about it, and you're not a person with a golf club. You're actually just one with the ball or whatever. I'm not a sports person, but so dialect coaching, it's you've got to
when the
know
dancer
the
becomes the dancer.
Exactly, it's all very zen. And but sometimes the weather is not very good. There are people arguing, and you know, there are all sorts of situations that make my work rather difficult. And you have to be incredibly patient. But sometimes you have to say, "I'm sorry, this doesn't work like this." You know, where's my trailer?
Right. Well, it was a pleasure talking with you. Really, fascinating. We're out of time, but it's been great talking with you. Thanks very much, and I wish you all the best.
Thanks. Maybe I'll see you at another festival.
Well, yes, we should start a podcast series on how to network
with Clifford at the movie festival.
It's a good idea for a podcast.
Why not? I'm open to anything.
Sponsored by
whoever.
Yeah. That's the spirit.
Not Nike, I don't think.
Wow. Thanks very much.
Okay, my pleasure.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.